a rare and blessed fortune to be in the association of two such exalted and merciful Mahatmas as His Holiness Sripad Bhakti Charu Maharaj and His Holiness Sripad Sachinandan Maharaj. Both are personifications of the sweet mellow of devotional service to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the Vaishnavas. In fact, I could not think of two more attractive personalities in all of creation to spend the afternoon with. They're both very ill in health, but still out of their great kindness they have come to give us their association. As all of you know, Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj was one of the very intimate and close associate and followers of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was born in the land of Gaudadesh, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy was born in the land of Gaudadesh within this world. Srila Prabhupada, as the most empowered and intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, carried out the order of Lord Nityananda, as well as his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by spreading this message through every town and village in the world. And his transcendental strategy, which was based on the order of his spiritual master, which to preach in the most universal of all languages today, and that is English. So Srila Prabhupada translated such great classics as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sri Ishopanishad, Sri Upadeshamrita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and his purports extract the true essence of these great literatures. But Srila Prabhupada personally assigned Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj the very, very intimate service of translating all of his books with purports into the Bengali language, the English, the original language of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj, working diligently year after year after year, has completed the entire Bhagavad Gita, the entire Nectar of Devotion, and the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, and I believe the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita with Prabhupada's purports in the Bengali language. He has done this practically single-handedly. Sometimes I have stayed in his room with him, and while I'm enjoying the mode of ignorance, sleeping, he's up throughout the night, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, doing his dictations of the translations of the purports of Srila Prabhupada for the benefit of all the world. And of course, he was also Srila Prabhupada's personal servant and secretary at the time, the intimate pastimes of Srila Prabhupada just before he disappeared from this world. He would sometimes travel with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, only after just a couple years of his being a devotee, he asked Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj to accept the renounced order of life, sannyas. And Srila Prabhupada personally gave him the sannyas mantra. What can we say? Anantasheshas, thousands of mouths could not describe the glories of one of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada's intimate associates. And although I may be a snake in many ways, I'm nothing like the kind of snake of Anantasheshas. Trying to explain the glories of a Vaishnava is like a bird trying to fly to the highest portion of the sky. The sky is unlimited. We can just go as far as we can go and hope that the Lord will be pleased. Of course, in the recent times, he has been putting a tremendous amount of energy, not only traveling and preaching and inspiring, but also producing, directing the wonderful television serial Abhay Charan, which is glorifying Srila Prabhupada to millions and millions of viewers, perhaps hundreds of millions of viewers in India. And now it is being translated in various languages and shown on cable television networks all over the world. It's a tremendous endeavor with a tremendous amount of pressures. But he's willing to make this great sacrifice just to please the Vaishnavas, to purify the hearts of all conditioned souls, and to please our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. So at this time, I humbly request all the assembled Vaishnavas to very loudly, with a tremendous degree of enthusiasm, welcome His Holiness Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Bhakti Charu Maharaj Ki. His Holiness Sripad Sachinandan Maharaj.
Jai.
One of the dearest, sweetest, purest, and most attractive Vaishnavas that has ever traversed this earth with his lotus-like feet. Wherever he goes, people's hearts simply melt with affection for Krishna and for the holy name. How he sings, how he dances, how he speaks, his personal character, is literally manifesting Krishna's mercy to the world. Very dear to Srila Prabhupada. At the time when book distribution was at its highest points and Srila Prabhupada was reading newsletters of the book distribution every week, sometimes getting reports every day, in those days, always on the very, very top, sometimes number one, or sometimes number two or three, of worldwide book distribution was Sachinandan Prabhu.
Jai!
He would risk his life in very dangerous places like Germany, just going up to people who are like ferocious bulls and just walking right up to them and saying, smiling so sweetly that they don't know what to do. In these countries, everyone's snarling at each other like ferocious animals, especially strangers, because everyone's suspicious. Fearful. But then this angelic, divine, effulgent person with smiles emanating from his face jumps up to you in glistening eyes and says, please take this book. It will make you happy. And they would buy the books. This way he would distribute thousands, tens and thousands of Srila Prabhupada's books. And how Srila Prabhupada would smile when he heard these wonderful pastimes. He also was one of the original devotees to risk his life to preach in the Eastern Europe countries, which were then under communist regime, smuggling Prabhupada's books behind the Iron Curtain. Very, very fearless, wonderful devotee. What can I say? If even Anantashesha cannot describe who are we, but all we can do is try to describe a portion of a drop from the ocean of the glories of these two very celebrated personalities. Let us now welcome, with tremendous amount of volume and enthusiasm, His Holiness Srila Satchinanda Maharaj. And now, with twice the volume, let us welcome both His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj and His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj together. Thank you for coming. Also, we have a very wonderful family that has come from the United Kingdom. I would like you to stand up. Dhananjay Prabhu and Saraswati Mataji and Draupadi Mataji and Haridas. Where is Haridas? Very well. He's playing. They are very, very wonderful devotees. And they've been serving Srila Prabhupada's mission for many, many years. Very instrumental in starting a wonderful center in Newcastle, the UK. And very humble, gentle, hardworking, exemplary devotees. We're so very happy that they have come to our temple. They're so effulgent with their enthusiasm to serve. Let us very graciously and loudly welcome them to Sri Radha Gopal. It's my request that all devotees take special concern to give them nice hospitality and make them feel very happy during their stay at Radha Gopinath. When babies cry, it is very auspicious. Auspicious, but only for a few seconds. So at this time, I would like to invite Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj to kindly speak to us. Illuminate us with his inspiring realizations. And then afterwards, His Holiness Sripad Satchinanda Maharaj, please also speak.
Mahamantra ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Sripad Satchinandan Swami Maharaj ki, Sripad Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Sriman Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Sri Panchatattva ki, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki, Gaur Premanande. At the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the qualification of a devotee has been explained. And as the first and foremost qualification, as has been described, is nirmatsar, paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Nirmatsar means one whose heart has become completely purified. When the heart becomes completely purified, then only he becomes qualified to appreciate and understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedya Vastava Matra Vastu. When one becomes Nirmatsar, then he can understand the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the absolute reality, Vastavam Atra Vastu. And how do we recognize whose heart has become completely purified of all material contaminations? And those material contaminations are lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, and envy. So nirmatsar or envy, to become free from envy, is the last grade of purification, the last portion that still remains. The ultimate impurity is envy. And when one becomes free from that envy, then it has to be understood that his heart has become completely purified. That means his heart has become purified of lust, his heart has become purified of greed, his heart has become purified of illusion, his heart has become purified of anger, his heart has become purified of pride. So all these five different categories of impurities has already been removed from his heart. And the last bit, that is the last snare of Maya, the last degree of impurity, the envy also has been removed from his heart. And how do we recognize that? We recognize that due to his non-envious nature, due to his total purification, which Bhakti Vinod Thakur has been described as being happy in others' happiness and being distressed in others' distress. Envy has been described as being happy at others' distress and being distressed at others' happiness. So non-envious means one who feels happy to see that others are happy and whose heart aches in seeing others' distress. And at that time, he simply speaks good about others and doesn't see anything bad in anyone else. That is the qualification of a Vaishnava, and that's the way to recognize the Vaishnava. How do we recognize a Vaishnava? We recognize him through this very particular qualification. And when I come in contact, when I come across devotees like Radhanath Maharaj and Sachinandan Maharaj, that understanding becomes exemplified. Radhanath Maharaj was so wonderfully saying so many nice things, at least about me, which anyway, I mean, not only me, but everybody knows that they are not there. But because of his total purity, he saw certain good qualities in me. And he so eloquently described, whereas when I look at myself, I see how at times I find it so difficult to say something nice about others. In that respect, I remember one incident from Mahabharata. Once Dronacharya asked Yudhishthira Maharaj to find a bad man. Well, not bad man, to find the worst man in this world. So Yudhishthira, you go and find the worst person in this world. And he told Duryodhan to find the best person in the world. At the end of the day, both of them came back alone. So Dronacharya asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, no, he actually first asked Duryodhan, so Duryodhan, what happened? I asked you to find the best man in this world and you came back without him. So Duryodhan replied, what to speak of a best man? I couldn't find a single good man in this world. And then he asked Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira, what happened? You came back alone also? He said, Gurudev, I couldn't find a single bad man in this world. So this is how different individuals see things. Atmavat mannate jagat. One sees the world the way he himself is. One who is good, he will see that everyone is good. And he won't find a single bad man. But one who is bad, he won't find anyone good. He will think that everyone is bad. So Radhanath Maharaj is a personality like Yudhishthira Maharaj, who always sees the good things, the wonderful things in others. And person like myself, you know who I am like. Hare Krishna. Actually, it is not that I'm just saying it. The proof actually is here. In this gathering, in this temple today, Radhanath Maharaj's wonderful devotional qualities and his purity has been manifested in you all. It is due to him that you all have become attracted to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, And you all have become so sincerely, so wonderfully involved in Krishna consciousness movement, in spreading Srila Prabhupada's glory through your own examples. Often I think that ISKCON is a preaching movement. And often I see devotees preaching. Practically going out, preaching to people. But when I come across devotees like Radhanath Maharaj, I realize that the actual meaning of preaching is actually caring. It's not just speaking some words. It is not a matter of eloquently presenting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. They are important, but ultimately what counts is the care. And today I can very boldly say that the whole of ISKCON is recognizing that wonderful quality in Radhanath Maharaj. The whole of ISKCON today is considering this Radha Gopinath temple as an ideal Vaishnav community, an ideal example to follow, which has been set by Shripad Radhanath Maharaj. You all are responding to Maharaj's care. It is because of Maharaj's care that you all are prepared to do anything for Srila Prabhupada today. Ultimately, what matters is the personality who is leading. We noticed when Srila Prabhupada was present on this planet, Krishna consciousness movement was flourishing in a very wonderful way. Within 10 years' time, the movement spread all over the world. And devotees who joined at that time was prepared to do anything for Srila Prabhupada. I remember when I just joined the movement, I asked one of my godbrothers what he found in ISKCON that he thinks to be most wonderful. And his reply was that devotees' dedication to Srila Prabhupada, devotees' commitment to Srila Prabhupada, devotees' love for Srila Prabhupada. So much so that if Prabhupada today tells the devotees to jump from the top of a multi-story building, devotees will do it. It's not that Prabhupada would ask anyone to do that, but the love for Srila Prabhupada was so deep, the trust in Srila Prabhupada was so profound, the devotees, without any hesitation, just did whatever Prabhupada asked them to do. No one actually questioned Srila Prabhupada's command. Prabhupada's command was immediately executed due to their love for him and confidence in him and trust for him. They knew Prabhupada is their real well-wisher. And if they just followed Srila Prabhupada, then they will go back to the spiritual sky. Whatever Prabhupada did was for their ultimate benefit. After Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, this movement has gone through many difficulties. It practically came to a point when this movement almost appeared to have been shattered. And although by Krishna's mercy, ISKCON is again building up, ISKCON has overcome those crises and things are again flourishing. And at a time like this, especially after this crisis, it becomes very, very noticeable how wherever Radhanath Maharaj is involved, those places flourish so wonderfully, are flourishing so wonderfully. I have the good fortune of coming very closely to many, become very close to many of you. I have been to areas where, not only in Bombay, but in other areas where Maharaj's disciples are involved in preaching. And I immediately see that they actually display a very special quality. And that quality is actually the reflection of Radhanath Maharaj's qualities. They organize very beautifully, they attract people very wonderfully. I had that experience with in Pune, seeing how Mother Janava and Krishnananda Prabhu, the temple recently, Krishnananda Prabhu has organized that jatra. I remember Pune was such a, everything was falling apart. It was such a problem place. And then Maharaj takes over, sends a few disciples, and Mother Janava Mata settles herself there, and everything starts to flourish so wonderfully. So devotees display such wonderful enthusiasm, dedication, commitment to Srila Prabhupada's mission. Recently I was in Hyderabad, and there also ISKCON really is not doing very well, or rather I would say was not doing very well. Maybe even I can say is not really doing very well. Because there is no point in hiding facts, let's face facts. If some place we are not doing well, let's admit that we are not doing well. Because if we recognize the problems, then we feel the need to solve the problem. If we hide the problem, then there is no room for rectifying the problem. But there, I just came across one devotee who is very enthusiastic. He became very noticeable. I just felt very much drawn towards that devotee. Then I asked him who was his spiritual master, and he told me Radhanath Maharaj. And that made a lot of sense. And then he invited me to a program in his house. And so when I went to the program in his house, I saw a wonderful organization. He's having a house program. That also was an unusual program, like it was not really scheduled. It was an unscheduled program. He arranged the program because I was there, and it was on the weekday, so many people were not able to come. But still, there were about 100 people. And in Hyderabad, 100 people means a lot, at least at this point in time. And I saw that they were so enthusiastic. In ISKCON expression, they were so fired up. In kirtan, in dancing. And then he started to explain to me about the programs they have, like the same like in Radha Gopinath temple. Like one man, incidentally, his name is Mahashringa Das, and he also is a cousin of Mahaprabhu Das. Cousin or nephew?
Cousin,
yeah. And like on, say for example, like on Sundays they have programs, they have their own program. There, he was telling me that how he started the program and how it started to develop. That in the beginning he was actually buying the bhoga, but he was engaging those congregation members that he was preaching to. And then he, after a while, these people started to bring the bhoga themselves. And not only they were cooking, they started to bring the bhoga, they started to bring everything that was needed. And they have divided different groups, and different groups actually cook on different Sundays, and in this way it rotates. And I was so, immediately I could see how the potency of Radhanath Maharaj is spreading through his disciples in different corners. Actually, the best way to recognize a spiritual master is from his disciples. Because the disciples actually display the qualities of the spiritual master. Because they are completely surrendered, the disciples are surrendered to the spiritual master. So whichever way the spiritual master guides the disciples take up that way, take to that way and display those attributes and qualities of the spiritual master. Recently, in our GBC conference in the COM, there has been a discussion, some discussion is going on about love and trust. And Radhanath Maharaj recently sent out one message about the what was the article? If anybody wants to have the report. Yeah, right. Was it this temple report?
Yeah.
So Maharaj just submitted one message saying that if anybody wants could have the report on Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple's congregation development program. And I immediately felt, yes, that's true. Like we have to follow certain projects. Like in people usually they set certain small project, prototype or a pilot project, and then they watch how that project is functioning. From that project they see where the defects are and where the qualities or the achievements are, and accordingly they apply to the larger projects for their ultimate success. And I personally very strongly feel that the society needs to follow Shripad Radhanath Maharaj's footsteps for its ultimate
achievement of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. I also must admit that I have seen the similar qualities in Sachinandan Maharaj. As a matter of fact, I see a lot of similarities between Radhanath Maharaj and Sachinandan Maharaj. Because Sachinandan Maharaj also is another personality who really takes care of his devotees. In Germany, in the early 80s, Harikesh Maharaj accepted a strategy that, you see, our society in Germany was very badly attacked, as Radhanath Maharaj mentioned briefly earlier, that it was very difficult and we were very much attacked by the government. The government was trying to close down our movement. Those days, in mid-70s, we actually purchased a big castle near Frankfurt. And the German government becomes very alarmed. And the German government cracked down upon us and tried to close down our temple, took us to the court. And our society could have been banned in that country. But by Krishna's mercy, we won the case in the court. But Harikesh Maharaj learnt a lesson. He felt that it will be a mistake to have a big center in a country like that. Because then it's going to be very easy for the government to crack down upon us. If they close down our big center, we are finished. So he developed a strategy to have many, many small centers scattered around the country. So the government won't be able to do anything. And involve the congregation members. In the houses, let's have our temple, our centers. And I thought that was a brilliant strategy. And also, a brilliant spiritual move also was taken by Harikesh Maharaj at that time. He established Lord Nrisingadev in Germany. Because he considered that Germany was a country which was ruled by leaders like Hiranyakashipu. And the devotees were like Prahlad Maharaj. And also the name of Germany is Deutschland, which means the land of the Daitas. So he established the deity of Nrisingadev to take care of Hiranyakashipu-like personalities. And he established that strategy of spreading Krishna consciousness in different parts of Germany, in different pockets, many, many pockets. And in that preaching program of Harikesh Maharaj, Sachinandan Maharaj was his main general. And Sachinandan Maharaj started to set up these Nam Hat centers in different parts of Germany. I remember in early 80s, they were very small. Like sometimes we would go to a preaching center and there are only 3 persons. You have a program with just 3 or 4 people. Of course, not that there were not big programs also. I remember places like Stuttgart and Augsburg, Munich. They had large congregations. Sometimes we would have programs in those places where Sachinandan Maharaj rented a big auditorium and it was packed with people. And Sachinandan Maharaj displayed that similar quality that I was just describing about Radhanath Maharaj, that he was so personal. He would just take care of everybody so personally. He would practically stay up till late, rather early in the morning hours taking care of those devotees, those with their congregation. And as a result of that, the preaching in Germany started to expand. Radhanath Maharaj actually mentioned about Sachinanand Maharaj being the biggest book distributor. Sachinanand Maharaj himself was not the biggest book distributor. He actually made Germany also at one time the biggest nation in Srila, in the list of marathon. And how did he do it? Sachinanand Maharaj, he actually engaged his congregation preachers, all the congregation members in Christmas marathon, Prabhupada marathon. He made, can you imagine, a fleet of 5,000 people going out, 5,000 devotees going out distributing every day for 1 month. And that year, Germany was the top of the world. And Sachinanand Maharaj is so personal that people, like many big people, like there was one person, Georg Tomola, who is a very famous film star. And Georg Tomola was completely cultivated by Sachinanand Maharaj. So much so that, I'll just give you one example. Like, he's a very important person, practically the whole nation adores him. So people were actually, some television station was interviewing him. And he wanted to speak about Bhagavad Gita, because he was so much influenced by Maharaj's preaching and Srila Prabhupada's books. He wanted to say something. He told him that, look, I have become a Hare Krishna devotee. But this, because this, people want entertainment. They want something sensational. They think speaking about God is not going to create sensation. It will dampen everyone's spirit. So Tomola said, okay, fine. If you don't want me to speak that I am a Hare Krishna, I won't speak about it. But in the interview, he just kept on telling that how his life has changed. Like, he lost interest for everything else. And then, when it was just enough time, just a few seconds left before the closing of the interview, he just said, you know what made all these changes in me? And he pulls out a Bhagavad Gita as it is and shows it. It says, this book by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Also, not only big movie stars, even some big rock musicians are very much influenced by, or very much influenced by Sachinanand Maharaj's preaching and care. Like, there is a very famous rock musician known as Nina Hagen. So, after one performance, she was just going escorted. There were thousands of people mobbing around her. And then she spots Sachinanand Maharaj at a distance. And she just says, oh, there is my meister, there is my spiritual master. And she runs towards Sachinanand Maharaj, you know, breaking the barricade and to offer her obeisances to him. So this is how, through Srila Prabhupada's wonderful followers, Srila Prabhupada's mission is actually spreading. And it is our duty to follow the right examples. In this material nature, at least especially in this age of Kali, people are very much susceptible to take to the wrong examples that are set by Kali and his followers. But Srila Prabhupada's followers, true followers, are establishing the right examples. Prabhupada's glorious disciples like Radhanath Maharaj, Sachinandan Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, all these wonderful devotees of ISKCON are spreading Srila Prabhupada's glory. Now, many people are coming up with all kinds of theories that they say, some people say ISKCON is dead. But we have to see that they unfortunately could not become Nirmatsar. They have become Matsar. They left ISKCON and they feel that everything about ISKCON is bad. Actually, it's not that ISKCON is dead, but they wish that ISKCON was dead. Their feeling is, since I left ISKCON, let ISKCON die. Then that will mean my victory. That will show, that will prove that I was right. Recently, one of my very wonderful godbrother, Badri Narayan Prabhu, was telling me that one such person came to the Los Angeles Rath Yatra and he was speaking like that to the people, that ISKCON is dead. So Badri Narayan Prabhu went to him and told him, Maharaj, he is a sannyasi actually, but left ISKCON. The Maharaj, see, thousands of people are queuing up to take Krishna Prasad. Hundreds of people are chanting ecstatically the holy name of the Lord. So many people are taking Srila Prabhupada's books. And see, it is such a wonderful program that you yourself came to participate. And still you think ISKCON is dead? So that person didn't have anything to say. Sometimes some people come up with a theory that no one is qualified to become a spiritual master in ISKCON. None of Prabhupada's disciples are qualified. Only Prabhupada should give initiation. Personally, I would love to have a system like that. Let Prabhupada continue to initiate for all time. But I could not accept a theory like that because in the scriptures or in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, or not only Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Vaishnavism, there is no such example where one can give diksha after his disappearance. And Srila Prabhupada never said anything about such a system emphatically. So how can I accept something that is not really instructed by the spiritual master, not accepted by the sadhus, and not mentioned in the scriptures? But they think, their main point is that no one is qualified. But unfortunately, as it is said, that as an owl cannot see the rays of the sun. The sun is in the sky, but the owl cannot see the light of the sun. Similarly, those unfortunate souls cannot see the potency of a bona fide spiritual master. I wish they were here and they saw how disciples of Srila Prabhupada like Radhanath Maharaj is attracting, guiding, training and leading his disciples back to spiritual sky. They would never come and see and then make their statements. They will just dwell in their small little world would not see all the wonderful things that are happening in ISKCON, but will say, ISKCON is dead, no one is qualified to become a spiritual master, and therefore no one should give initiation, so and so forth. In this respect, I remember one instance, quite some time ago actually, that was in mid-80s, about 10-12 years ago. One devotee was giving a Bhagavatam class. I was present in the class. And he was glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And then he summed it up that actually Prabhupada is so great that no one should try to imitate Srila Prabhupada. No one should try to accept disciples and become spiritual master in imitating Srila Prabhupada. And of course, since I am a spiritual master myself, I couldn't say anything. But one new bhakta, during the question answer, he asked him a question. Maharaj, no, he was not a sannyasi. He was a sannyasi, but somehow he's not a sannyasi anymore. He said, "You said Prabhupada was such a great spiritual master, but Srila Prabhupada couldn't make a single qualified disciple to become spiritual master. Are you really glorifying Srila Prabhupada, or you are broadcasting Srila Prabhupada's disqualification as a spiritual master?" We have to understand, Prabhupada himself says, the qualification of a Vaishnav is in his ability to convert others into Vaishnav. If we really want to glorify, really want to recognize the glory of Srila Prabhupada, then we have to recognize that Srila Prabhupada practically pulled out people from the gutters and made them into pure devotees of Krishna. That is the true glory of Srila Prabhupada. So, I personally feel very safe in this society where we have such wonderful God brothers, such wonderful leaders who are actually leading this movement towards this ultimate glory. And what is going to be the ultimate glory of ISKCON? The ultimate glory of ISKCON is that this society is going to establish Krishna consciousness in every town and village all over the world. And it will happen by the sincere endeavors of Srila Prabhupada's loyal followers. Srila Radhanath Maharaj ki! Srila Sachinandan Maharaj ki! Srila Prabhupada ki! All glories to the assembled devotees! All glories to all the wonderful followers of Srila Prabhupada ki! Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Dho.
I do feel very, very moved by what Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj has said. And in fact, it is now very difficult for me to not comment on anything he said. I want to thank you personally, Maharaj, for this encouraging and also, I would say, very convincing presentation about the transcendental potency of Srila Prabhupada, which is still active even to the present day in our wonderful movement. I want to thank you very much. In my presentation, I will approach everything from a totally different angle, though. And I have made three notes, to just know that I won't fall into this wonderful trap of Bhakti Charu Maharaj, who has really brought out some very nice points. If I would follow what he said, I would immediately praise him now, and then I would praise Radhanath Maharaj, and then I would wish, then I would tell all the devotees to go to Prabhupada and pay their obeisances to Prabhupada, and then embrace themselves, and then preach. This is would be my response. Let me, however, prove that ISKCON is a movement with many aspects, and therefore present a total different aspect. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a wonderful and thought-provoking verse. The verse says, the highest intelligence, the greatest of all wisdom, and the proof for the biggest brain is to use what is temporary to reach the eternal. Now, this is quite a little bit difficult to understand, let us have it very clear. Our material body is temporary, but if we are truly intelligent, if we are the wise of the wisest persons, if we have the most brain, we will use this temporary material body to reach an eternal existence. This in itself is something so wonderful that we need to look at an example from physics. When you have ordinary sand, you cannot manipulate the sand to get some peanut butter out of it. You can't press it in some special way and then obtain some oil or some fat, because it is simply not in there. So we have to ask ourselves, how can we get something eternal by using the temporary? Because by definition, within a temporary existence, there is no eternality. Do you follow this logic? But through the process of bhakti yoga, it is actually possible to use this material body with its senses, and to reach an eternal existence beyond birth and beyond death. This is a very intelligent process, it's a very wise process, and it is a process which is on the highest level of intelligence. Now, it is explained that we can use the senses of our temporary body to use and to come to an eternal existence. For instance, we can look regularly at the wonderful deities, we can eat with our tongues prasadam, we can smell with our noses the incense, we can embrace with our bodies the Vaishnavas, as has happened several times today in the Radha Gopinath Mandir. We can use our senses by the processes of bhakti yoga and thereby purify them and come to the transcendental platform of Sachit Ananda even in this material body. This is the great power of bhakti. And to illustrate it, Jiva Goswami has given a story of the Puranas. He has told that there was once a rat who was who was in the vicinity of the altar, and he saw how a light on the altar was just in the process of becoming extinguished. So the rat thought, this is not a light, this is a piece of paneer cheese, and went there and bit into this ghee wick, which was just, there was a little flame. So when the rat bit into the ghee wick, the ghee wick got stuck at one of his teeth, and the fire again coming up, and the rat was all in anxiety, and in order to get rid of the fire, it waved its head towards the deity. And then it had a nervous attack and heart failure and died. So at that moment, from without the rat body, a transcend the soul in purified of all its bad karma ascended to the spiritual sky. Why? Because the rat had used its temporary existence, its rat body, in which it was hunting for cheese or food, to make an aratik to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, when the Givik got stuck, it got afraid, and it waved actually the Givik, like the pujari is waving the lamp, and in this way it made... it used its temporary existence and got back home, back to the spiritual world in its eternal body. Let us summarize. The scriptures tell us that the highest intelligence, the greatest wisdom, and the sign of the most developed brain is to use the temporary to get towards the eternal, to get towards the eternal kingdom of God. This is the chance which we have, and it's up to us to now think how to apply this formula in our life. Now we will come to the second point. Nowadays, I do not know all of you well enough. I only know you from singing Hare Krishna and hearing your shouts of Hari Bo and your profuse jumping, which is a sign of the good pulse in the spiritual life, which you all show by your great physician, Radhanath Maharaj, who has applied the spiritual panchatattva treatment to you. And you have a good, strong pulse now. But in many places throughout the world, both in spiritual circles and our ISKCON temples, as well as in the modern society, people asked a question: where is my place in life? Do you know this question? There is a silence. You can almost hear a needle falling to the ground. I don't know. Yes, no. Have you ever thought about this question? Where is my place in life? No. Yes. You are too shy to answer. So I will assume that some of you have asked the questions and some are shocked by the question. It's a very important question which every one of us will ask himself. Is it in the brahmachari ashram or the grihastha ashram? Is my place in the temple, or is it as a doctor in the Bhaktivedanta hospital? Is my place in the college, or should I give up material academic career and just do other activities? What is my place in life? Once there was a king who was asking everyone, every saint who came through his kingdom, please tell me, where is my place in life? Should I go to the forest? Or, he was not yet married, should I marry and manage the kingdom? Finally, a Vaishnava saint came to him and he said, I will answer this question for you, but you have to follow me and travel with me for 2 months. So the king said, okay. He gave all the duties to to the ministers for 2 months. He took the clothes of a simple, not a sadhu, but as a simple man, so that he was not recognized, because he wanted to know, where is my place in life? So the Vaishnava sadhu went with him, and every evening they had a Bhagavad Gita reading. And then one fine day, they came into a town. They came to the marketplace, and they heard how a man announced, "This afternoon there will be a Swayamvara. The princess of this kingdom will choose her husband." "Oh," said the sadhu, "this is interesting. Let's come." So they came to the Swayamvara at the afternoon, and all the best princes of the country and beyond the country had assembled in their best dress. Then the princess was carried on a palanquin, and she looked for a moment and then did not look any longer, because some prince was maybe strong, but he was less intelligent. Another prince was had other disqualifications, and she carefully checked every one of the princes until finally she found amongst the people a sannyasi who was just looking there. Maybe he should not have come there, but he was just looking and seeing it. And somehow, who can tell the movements of the human psychology, the princess found interest in this ascetic man. She jumped off the palanquin and brought the garland towards the sannyasi. The sannyasi was seeing he had made a mistake. He was saying, no, go. And so the king was there, and he had an interpretation for the situation. He thought, well, maybe the sannyasi is a poor beggar, and he thinks that princesses are too expensive to maintain, he was maybe not religious. He said, I give you half of my kingdom. No, said the Vairagi. Why do you try to bind me with a golden chain, with the womanly beauty and money to this world? And he was shocked. He called out, "Narayan, Narayan, Narayan," and went away. So the princess was following him. So the sadhu said, "Come on, this is interesting. Let us also go and see how it ends." It's a very long story, but it will make a point. You just have to bear with me. I feel the sharp glance of Bhakti Charu Maharaj mastering me. Where will the story end? This is very unusual story. Please follow me just 2 more minutes. It makes a good point. So this princess was going, trying to follow this the Vairagi, who was fleeing into the forest, and the princess were asking everyone, "Have you seen this Vairagi? I want to convince him to change his ashram." And the people said, "Princess, he has found his place. He has renounced this world. You cannot bind him, not by money and not by worldly promises." But she was not willing to listen. It followed more. So the evening came, and our sadhu, with the prince, with the king in disguise, caught up with the princess and said, tomorrow you can continue your search, but for now we have to spend the night under a tree, and we have to build a fire so that no wild animal will come and make problems. So just stay with us and let us sleep under trees around the fire. You please trust us. We are travelers to the way, to the kingdom of God. Don't worry. So they made a fire, and the fire was burning, and they tried to sleep, but the princes couldn't sleep, the king couldn't sleep, and the sadhu was smiling to himself. He also didn't sleep. So above the tree there was a bird family. And the husband said to his wife, "We have these three travelers. It may be that they are hungry. I want to do a sacrifice. Maybe they look like non-veg. And I want to use my temporary body by giving them a meal. Because what can I expect from this life? I will just mate, have more children, pick some grains, and die an inglorious bird death. But now I will sacrifice something for these people, and I will enter the fire." So he said goodbye to everyone, the wife and the children, and then boom, fell into the fire. So the sadhu, the princess, and the king saw there's this bird, it's burning in the fire, and they said, no, we sometimes are non-veg, but not this type. This sadhu, please take the bird. And the sadhu took the bird immediately. Sadhu, please give him life back and let him go back to his family. The sadhu made, and the bird went to the tree. Then the sadhu looked at the princess and the king, and he said, "Do you see? The sannyasi is strong because he has renounced the world, and he gets all the strength from his vairagya. Not even a golden chain of money and woman can bind him. And do you see? This bird is just a simple grihastha bird, living with his family in the tree. But because he has found his place, which is different from the sannyasi, therefore he is so strong that he doesn't even care about his temporary existence. He is prepared to offer it for a higher cause. This is the answer to your question, King. Everyone is strongest at his or her own place. You have to find your place in life according to your natural inclinations, and you have to serve in this place wherever it is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There you will get all the strengths which you need. And my dear King, you are a man who likes to control for the benefit of others. You must marry, and here is your wife, the princess. Princess, don't go to the vairagi, go to the king. There you will find your expectations fulfilled. This is how the story ends. It's an illustration, somewhat cryptic. One has to go into with his mind into it and see what does it say. An illustration to the previous point. If we can find our place in our life, that place will give us a tremendous amount of energy, where the word impossible becomes a word in a fool's dictionary. It is not in existence, in other words, in our lives. So these, I have said a philosophical point, and I have made an illustration of a somewhat entertaining nature. Now the conclusion will be drawn. My dear devotees of the Radha Gopinath temple, you need to understand two things in your lives. First of all, you have to use this temporary existence to get the eternal. And second of all, this will be possible if you find your right place. Now for a Vaishnava, the right place is found when he is properly connected. I want to give you an example of this from physics, because I understand here are many students and doctors. If you have a board which can carry 50 kg, and you have another board which can carry the weight of 70 kgs, how many kgs do you think can these two boards carry when they are added together? One carries 50, the other 70. I have asked this question in the German universities, and the people were thinking, should we answer? 50 plus 70, that gives 120 kg. Obviously, I mean, he's a Hare Krishna, we never know what they are up to, but obviously no one would ask such a question which is meant for a first standard of mathematics in a university. He can't be so beyond the world that he would ask such a question. And I think you also will feel, well, one board carries 70 kg, the other 50. And he asked, how many do the two carry together? I mean, he might laugh at me if I say 120 kg. And I would not laugh at you, but I would politely correct you. You are right. These two boards, because they are properly linked, can carry a weight of 350 kg. Not 120 kg, because by their proper linkage, an unusual power is born. In the same way, when we want to be so bold as to go back home, back to Godhead, if we want this goal in our life, to use our temporary body to get to the eternal, we need to be properly linked up. And I feel just like Bhakti Charu Maharaj has said, Radha Gopinath Mandir and the congregation is such a wonderful place to be linked up, that I am making secret plans to also be linked up, plans which I will not reveal in the public for for certain reasons. One should only talk about his plans when they are completed. This is not that I am taking the point of Bhakti Charu Maharaj and to also say something in his following my older and beloved godbrother. No, it is so outstanding. Yesterday, when Vaishnava Sevadas gave us a tour through the Bhakti Vedanta Hospital, I was just amazed. Radhanath Maharaj, in his humble way, went and looked at everything and said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, this special lights, Hare Krishna. But for me, this was only a little sign, just a very, very little sign of what will happen when the congregation grows up. This is just like the little third speech attempts of the little boy who starts to mature and grow up. I can guarantee you, if you all find your place
in this Radha Gopinath congregation, if you, that means if you are properly linked up with the great Vaishnavas, and if you have your particular service, that is also important for your place in life, then wonderful things will happen. To find your place in life, you need basically three things as a Vaishnav. You need to be linked up with the proper source of purity, that means a pure Vaishnav. Second thing, you need to have a service where you can really give all your brain, your temperament, your intelligence, your wealth, your intelligence, where you can unhesitatingly throw yourself into it. And you need a strong spiritual practice comprised of regular chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, reading the Bhagavad philosophy every day and becoming convinced from all angles of view and have proper Vaishnav relationship. Then, oh, wonderful things will happen. Things which are beyond the capability of each singular individual here will happen. And I have seen this in the life of my dear godbrother Bhakti Charu Maharaj. I remember he visited Harikesh Maharaj in Basel, it was, Switzerland, and presented his TV serial program, Abhe Charan, to a very skeptical but also willing to be convinced Harikesh Maharaj. Those who know our Harikesh Maharaj know he is very, very intelligent, and you have to give good arguments to convince him for anything. And afterwards, Harikesh Maharaj, he's a very pragmatic person also, wonderful Vaishnava, went to a suitcase, you might remember, took out the necessary amount of dollars and gave Bhakti Charu Maharaj in his hand a subscription fee. I want all the serials and I want to personally look at them. I have only one criticism. Why in your first four episodes, it ended when Bhaktivinoda Thakur met this Falgu Bhagavan, and Falgu Bhagavan was now getting ready for the action to throw his curses on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then why did you make a cliffhanger at the end? Don't be cruel with us. That was also my only criticism. I have seen by now the following episode and so on and so forth. We were invited by Gopa Vrindapala, and I wanted to go when Maharaj was not there to see everything and put all my antennas to the production in the studio. And just 1 week ago, I went there, and immediately I could see Maharaj's genius by making a TV serial which is both pure and also entertaining. He will enter through the TV into the heart of all the viewers and audience and present Srila Prabhupada to them. And Srila Prabhupada is a veritable powerhouse of transformation. Those who came in contact with him were electrified by his transcendental potency. And Prabhupada will enter now into Baidu Darshan into the homes of all these families, not only in India, but abroad, and will transform the hearts. Maharaj has, in other words, chosen a total new area, which we could call a pioneer underground area. He will secretly enter through the closed doors, through the closed hearts, by a highly intriguing TV serial and present Prabhupada. And it's a genius. It's something totally new. No one thought of it. No one thought it was possible. And our Maharaj is doing it. And I know it means for him blood, sweat and tears to bring this forth. But there are many signs how Krishna is cooperating. And I have seen our Maharaj has found a place where he can serve Prabhupada, and wonderful things become possible. He is an example of this. Find your right place where you are strongest. So I sincerely want to encourage all of you to think about these two points. Use the temporary to reach the eternal, and do this by finding your right place in life. For the right place in life, it's not a physical area, but it is something where you need to be linked up with the proper personality, where you need to do a service, where you can give your all and everything, not keep anything for you, but voluntarily and happily give it. And a place where you have very rewarding Vaishnava relationships. I'm very, very thankful that Radhanath Maharaj has given me the opportunity to address all of you. What I have said today is something what I am thinking very deeply about in my own life. It's something very meaningful. Please take this subject and do some own thinking about it. Maybe you will think, am I already rightly situated in the Radha Gopinath Mandir or not Mandir, congregation? Have I already properly linked up with the proper person? Have I already the proper sadhana? Have I the right place? If you find the right place, wonderful things will happen, like my foolish little example from physics about the two boards. By properly linking up, wonderful things are possible. Thank you all very much. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Radhanath Maharaj ki jai. Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.
I have searched your existence very carefully and I have found nothing but a heart. Bhakti means the heart. The soul is situated in the heart. The super soul Krishna is situated in the heart. Therefore Krishna says in Gita, aham evam vidurjan. That it is only by bhakti, it is only through the devotion, the love of the heart, that he could be known as he is. Today we have so wonderfully been blessed by these two devotees who imbibe such a sweet and intense degree of bhakti. The great treasure that Srila Prabhupada has given to the world on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya's message was very simple. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Hear the glories of Krishna. Always remember Krishna. Tell others about Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your real treasure and wealth. Krishna is your life and soul. Everyone chant the holy names of Krishna. And through that simple process of bhakti or devotional service, one can capture the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti can only exist where there is humility. where there is no false pride. Because false pride and bhakti are opposite of one another. False pride impels one to think that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, and it is I who should be glorified and respected. But bhakti is the sentiment born of realization that I am the eternal servant of the servant of the servant. Krishna is to be glorified. Krishna's devotees are to be glorified. And therefore we find those who have the greatest degree of devotion also have the greatest degree of humility. How is it that Srila Sanatana Goswami considered himself so low and untouchable? How is it that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami considered himself to be lower than the worm and stool, more fallen than Jagai and Madhai? He warned people, if you hear my name, you will lose all your pious credits. And if you speak my name, you will become sinful. Just like magnetic forces. Satyanandan Maharaj, for his pleasure, I'll give this scientific example. The positive side of the magnet repels the positive side of another magnet. Positive attracts negative, and negative attracts positive. Krishna is the supreme positive. He is the all-attractor. He is the supreme proprietor and controller of everything that exists. When our consciousness becomes so humble, in a sense negative, when we consider ourselves very small, we attract the great. When we consider ourselves very fallen, we attract the Lord to elevate us. When we consider ourselves very sinful, we become filled by the Lord with all spiritual attributes. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his golden rule. Trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sihishnana, amanina manadena kirtanya sadahari. To feel oneself more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, to be not only ready, but to be eager and enthusiastic, determined to offer all respect to others, and to expect none in return. To praise the Lord and to praise His devotees should be done with a heart full of enthusiasm, full of desire. That is real glorification. In this mood we can chant the holy name of the Lord always. Srila Prabhupada has explained to us that this simple sloka is the very essence of bhakti, humility. What is humility? Humility can be explained in so many ways, but a very simple explanation is the desire to serve. Simply want to serve. Aspire to serve. To be satisfied serving. Not enjoying, not taking, not accumulating, but serving. As the servant of the servant of the servant. And to give all credit to the object of our service, who is Krishna. And Krishna is represented within this world through the spiritual master and through the Vaishnavas. So let us always aspire to be such a humble servant of the servant of the servant. Then only can we attract Krishna. There is no other means. As Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj was explaining, not by being an eloquent preacher, not by being a great scholar, not by giving donations of so many millions of crores, not by being very, very famous and expert in any particular field. We should do the best we possibly could in whatever service we can do. But what attracts Krishna is the humility, the dedication in which it is offered. And today these two very, very wonderful personalities have illuminated us with their sincere and extraordinary humility. Their desire to glorify Vaishnavas and to encourage all of us. So I am praying that everyone please today take into the core of your hearts the wonderful words and example of Sachinanda Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and your lives will be perfect. We should all aspire to follow in their footsteps and be the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas and chant Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. At this time, we have kirtan. And everyone wants to see both of you dance.
I've got some problem if I may.
But you can just raise your arms and dance. You can both stand just here so everyone can see. Please. Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj was asked last week by one devotee, "Why do you chant very loudly?" He said, "So that Krishna will take us seriously." He said, "If you were in a dark alley and you were being attacked by someone to come and kill you, and as they grab hold of you, do you say, 'Help'?" Rather, we say, "Hare Krishna!" Then Krishna will take us seriously. So let us chant very loudly with great devotion.